This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadrons Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast, and Retro Inc. Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 63 of Tatooine and Sons. We're still waiting for a trailer, or a teaser, or even a title for episode 9. But that doesn't mean we're lacking some very exciting news to talk about. Disney has given us a ton of new information about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, coming to both Disneyland and Walt Disney World later this year. The details have us slobbering more than Jabba the Hutt waiting for his dinner to be served. We've got all the details for you. Plus, we'll try to figure out how Kaz is getting out of the mess he's in on Star Wars Resistance, and we'll give some hot takes. I have sensed a disturbance on the Force. It appears to be centered on a planet named Batuu. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream... That Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I'm BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achoo to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in, and if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you are missing out on some absolutely amazing theme park stuff.
Haven't you done that one before?
Probably. I've probably done a lot of these before,
but you kinda, they probably
aren't. There's not a whole lot of news. I mean, this is big news, but when there's not a whole lot of news, you just kind of start, like, morphing.
Yeah, this was a hot take that morphed into a main topic for me today. The more I learned about this, I was like, yeah, that can't be a hot take, because it'll take up the whole show.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to find a main topic, and the main topic will be, like, 5 minutes long, because nothing else has happened. Yeah. So it's morphed into this. So anyway, it's your turn, BB Nate.
Oh, and of course you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. And on that note, here's my... Wait, I forgot. And of
Just
course,
do it again.
You can't
Start
have
over.
Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad's boat die Jedi got.
You feeling all right?
I'm out of it. Like,
yeah?
It's
Did you take a little bit too much ice cream this evening?
No, I've been doing a lot.
He's been busy. He, like, got up. He did school. He helped.
No, I got up.
Because he homeschools. You guys know that, right?
I got up. I helped mom put shelves together and vacuum the downstairs and do all that stuff. Then I did my... school, and then I ate lunch, which was like a 5 minute break, and then I baked cookies with mom, and then it was about 3 o'clock or 3:30 when that started, and then I finished up my school, and then I went to hand out cookies to the neighbors with you guys, and then I went to dinner, and it's been busy.
It has been, and then we went to Chick-fil-A,
yeah,
which is Jesus food, we call Jesus it food. In this family. Sam works at Chick-fil-A.
I do.
I worked at Chick-fil-A. BB Nate, are you going to work at Chick-fil-A?
Probably.
You should. Anyway, yeah, we handed out cookies tonight to the neighbors. That was fun.
Yeah,
it was cool. So you guys got big plans starting Saturday morning, right?
Saturday morning.
Around probably...
Well, we have to be to the airport at what time?
4:30. So we've got to
And we have to go
like
from Colorado Springs to Denver, which is an hour and a half.
And then we got to get up and get ready.
Which is, well, you're just going
to
throw
we
some
We need to be
in.
There probably an hour before.
No, we're going to be there at 4:30. Is what, oh. It doesn't leave at 4:30. You have to be there at 4:30.
That's right.
So. But you got some cool suitcases to take with you.
We're just gonna take we're gonna be able to fit all our clothes in just one.
Which one are you taking?
BB-8.
You're taking BB-8 since that one went to Israel and got lost. You gonna try it again?
Oh, that don't remind me of that.
Yeah, it took us like 4 days to get your luggage when we went to Israel back in October, November, September, whatever. That was fun. So you're gonna be in Orange Beach, Alabama, Redneck Riviera. Woohoo!
Yeehaw!
Wee-hoo!
Yeehaw!
You're gonna be there for a week.
A week.
That'd
yeah,
be cool.
About a week.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah. So, what's like the thing that you are most hoping to do while you're down at spring break?
I don't really have anything I'm most hoping to do.
You know, there's a microphone right there, and it's better if you're talking to that. This is thing we call a podcast, and it's actually something that we record so people can hear it on the other side.
Is that how that works?
That is how it works.
Okay. I mean, there's not really anything I'm, like, specifically looking forward to. I just look forward to the trip every year. So cool. I'm excited.
Hang out in the pool at the condo?
The hot tub, the pool. A lot, yeah. Yeah. Cool.
What about you, BB Nate? What are you hoping to do?
I don't have really much that I'm hoping
to do. All right. Great trip.
It's going to be fun.
We're just excited. We're going to spend time with our grandparents.
I'm excited you're going to be out of the house for a week.
Hey.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I'll miss you guys. A little bit. Just not as much as mom. Mom always like freaks out from like the time you leave till the time you get back.
Yeah.
So. But I'll miss you guys. We'll have to find some way to do Skype you guys in for the podcast. That'll be fun. You guys bring your computer, right?
Mm.
Okay. So we'll Skype you guys in.
Which computer are we bringing?
Well, that one. The one over there on the other side of the room, not the one we're recording with here. So cool. Welcome on YouTube Live, everybody. You got Rick. You got JG. Looks like that's it right now. It's because we started late, I think, too. So, you know, if all of our East Coast friends are like, yo, it's late. So, anyway. So that's kind of cool. Rebels Day, March 5th. We haven't figured out what we're doing for that yet. I just know that I'm going to be teaching a class all day and spending time on my breaks tweeting about the most amazing television cartoon animated series ever made, in my humble opinion. I asked that question on Twitter. I think we talked about this last week, but I think the Rebels is the best. So.
Agreed.
That's my favorite. What about you, BB Nate?
I agree.
Rebels or Clone Wars?
Rebels. Rebels.
Where's Resistance in this thing right now? Is it still third place?
Yeah.
It's okay to say that. You know, it's not. Things haven't really developed as much, obviously, as other things.
No.
So
I would say it's still third.
But it was good. It's getting better.
It's getting really good. Totally.
And we've liked it from the beginning, but it's starting to really heat up. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then, you know, if you're watching this right now, listening to this right now, I guess is the most, what I meant is listening, because this is primarily a podcast. We'd love for you to check out our Patreon page, because, you know, the Patreon support is going to help us do some things at Star Wars Celebration. And we certainly appreciate all of our Patreon supporters, like Rick and John, and any that are watching us on YouTube Live right now. You guys are awesome. Thank you guys so much for your amazing support. And you know, John, I think you're pretty much involved in trying to like map out all the different panels and things like that for like the public for Star Wars Celebration. He's like involved in this group that's trying to like track all of them and get them all on the schedule.
Cool.
And so you know, we'll just let you tell us where to go.
when they release this podcast or the podcast on their word. The panels, Nate and I are going to have to do some serious planning, more so than last year. Last year, we were like, oh, yeah, we'll go to this one. We'll go to this one. This one sounds cool. We'll do this. And then we've got a little bit of break here. This year, we were going to be so packed. With podcasts, meeting people, panels.
Doing our own shows.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Video stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm excited.
So what are we going to take for video? Like, how are we going to do that?
No, I got an iPhone. We got some Samsungs.
We've got, like, really nice cameras, so...
Just grab a selfie stick and go. Let's not complicate this. Let's have fun.
Are we going to rent that thing from the library?
I don't know, because I don't know how it works, so...
Oh, it's actually the leading and that kind of stuff.
I know it is, but I don't know.
And people will actually just use that for... what we're doing.
I know.
And they give you...
it's a Zoom mic thing we can rent from the library.
The library will show you how to work it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool. Well, why don't we get on the show then? Can we start on the show? I know we've been recording, but can we, like, start on the real part of the show?
Yeah.
Right. Move on to the podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question till after I've done it.
What?
It does echo longer when you have these headphones on. But anyway, all right. Was The Phantom Menace the first Star Wars movie?
No.
You saw it in the theater. This is sort of a poll. You kind of knew the results were going to be. You got 10 movies, and you're taking one and seeing if it's the first one that people saw in the theater. But there, it's also sort of weighted to a possibility because it was the first one of the prequel trilogies.
Right.
So if you hadn't seen the original series and you were going to the movies for the first time, then, or the Star Wars movies for the first time, it was a possibility there. So, it was pretty simple. 25% said yes, 75% said no. We had a lot of votes. We still have another day left. We had like 645 votes. One of the things that's been cool about this is hearing all the comments and the stories.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the people being like, no, it's not my first. This was my first, or that was my first, or whatever. But it's been pretty cool. So, who's got Emily? You got Emily?
I do.
Emily's a Patreon supporter. Thank you, Emily, for your support. You're amazing. And by the way, all you guys that are our Patreon supporters, February got away from us, but I promise you that your stickers and your shirts and stuff like that, they're on their way. We are in the process of getting that. They're ordered, they're designed. In fact, Stormtrooper Pete, he's a Patreon supporter. He was one of, we were the very first podcast he ever listened to. You guys remember
that? Oh, wow. Really?
50th anniversary?
Yeah. I don't remember that episode.
Really? His comment was that we were the very first Star Wars podcast that he ever listened to.
Aww.
And he's big on Instagram. You should check out Stormtrooper Pete on Instagram.
Right.
He does a lot of the 3.5-inch figures where he like models them, puts them in scenes, and takes photos of them. They're amazing.
They look awesome.
He created the image that we're using
for
this month's theme, which we didn't even talk about because of the move and the job change, which was love. But it's interesting. It's really cool. I can't wait for you guys to get this. This is going to be awesome. So, thank you, Emily, for being a Patreon support.
Emily Hoffman at
Millie Hoff.
Okay.
Millie Hoff.
Yep. My first was The Force Awakens, but Revenge of the Sith came out when I was in third grade, and everyone at school knew I was a big Star Wars fan. And they kept asking me if I had seen it, so I lied and I said that I had to avoid telling them that my parents wouldn't let me see it. PG-13 movies as a 9-year-old.
Well, that's sad. I mean, that's kind of a very cool story. But, feeling like you're going to be made fun of because you didn't, get to go see a PG-13 movie because you were 9. Totally get you, Emily. Here's the deal. I didn't get to see A New Hope in the theater.
Because I thought it was what?
When did I was only 2 when A New Hope came out.
Oh.
I watched that on HBO, though.
Mindlessly.
Like, and then I didn't get to see Empire Strikes Back in the theater. And then one Sunday afternoon, a mom of one of my friends down the street came to the house and asked if she could take me with her kids and some other kids in the street to go see Return of the Jedi in 1983. And my parents wouldn't let me go because we had something going on that night. And I didn't get to
see... It was Sunday night
church. Sunday night church, yeah. And so I didn't get to go see... Return of the Jedi in the theaters. And so I actually, when I made this podcast poll, I actually was saying and thinking from the perspective of The Phantom Menace was the first Star Wars movie I saw in the theaters. But people made comments on the replies that reminded me that it's not true. Because the special editions were released in 1997. And I saw it. My amazing wife took me to all 3 of them. To go see them when they came out in the theaters. They came out in like January, February, and March, I think, and I got to see all 3 of them in the theaters. But I had already seen them, so I didn't really count it. But the first time I saw a Star Wars movie for the first time in the theater was The Phantom Menace.
So,
I got Roberto, right?
Yes,
you are. Roberto Moreno, another one of our amazing Patreon supporters, Jedi Council member.
Who is not.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's Scandinavian, which...
He's from... I'm sorry. I don't remember what country you're from, Roberto, and I feel like a bad person every time I say that. Okay. Yes, but not back in 99. So, The Phantom Menace was the first Star Wars movie he saw in the theater. But not in 1999. He was only 5 years old then. All right, I'm just going to stop right here and say...
Impressive.
What's wrong with... All right,
I got a bad feeling about this.
Everybody's so much younger than me.
Hey, you're old.
When I read this, Emily's like, "Yeah, I was in third grade when Revenge of the Sith came out." What? Are you kidding me?
I was
third grade when Revenge of the Sith came out.
And just think about it. I was Like probably not even born.
You weren't born when Revenge of the Sith came out.
So I was born.
You were.
I
wasn't even. No, you were. Like, it was 2005. It was May of 2005. You were just turning 4. Wow. Yeah, mom was pregnant with you. So yeah. Anyway, and then Roberto, he was 5 years old when the Phantom Menace came out.
Well, you are turning 44.
I feel so old. Guys, will you bring a walker for me to Celebration? Because I'm going to apparently need that. Maybe a wheelchair. I'll be 44 years old at Celebration. I'll be 44 this in a month. And but by the time you listen to this, it'll be March.
It's less than 100 days.
20 days. 23 days. So anyway. Yeah. Okay, let me finish reading this. I saw the 3D version when it came out in theaters. Unfortunately, Star Wars wasn't a thing for me until 2006, so I missed Return of the Sith as well, which I'd love to see on the big screen. Well, you never know. All right, they haven't announced this yet, but when we were at Star Wars Celebration in 2017 in Orlando, they showed A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi in this big theater in the evenings, or this big room in the evenings with everybody with their lightsabers, and it was a big fun thing. With it being the 20th anniversary of the Phantom Menace, I would logically think they would go Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, so maybe you'll have that chance.
And also some, theaters for episode 9 might marathon.
Nice.
Oh, that's true.
That would be the most intense,
that would be amazing.
I don't know if I could do it.
It's not the most intense. AMC.
Well, yeah, the Marvel ones, yeah. We
know. No, AMC did all of the best pictures shown in one day.
Oh, yeah, that's
17
crazy.
Hours.
Yeah, anyway. Ugh. Yeah, so. Ugh. What about you? You going to go with this next one?
There? Yeah, so this is from Daniel T. Foster at...
Weird One. W-E-E-R-D-1.
Yeah.
Follow all these amazing people on Twitter.
Right. I like his profile picture because I'm pretty sure I had that helmet.
It was a clone helmet, right?
Yeah.
Like the Captain kid's Rex. Clone helmet. Captain Rex. Yeah.
I think I had that thing.
Yeah, anyway. When you were 4.
He said, no, I was there for Star Wars. But it was my son's first Star Wars film in a theater and my daughter's first movie in a theater, period. Oh, so I think he was saying he was there for A New Hope. That's what he was meaning.
Yes.
Yeah, I was there for Star Wars. Yeah, A New Hope. And that was a big thread that was on that. People were like, we don't call it A New Hope. We call it Star Wars. I get it, but guys, come on. Can we just chill a little bit about that kind of stuff? Because it's really not important. Anyway, you can call it whatever you want. It's okay.
But
it was his son's first Star Wars film in a theater and his daughter's first movie ever in a theater. So I think
that's cool.
Awesome. BB-8, do you know what your first... movie experience was? Do you remember?
Movie experience?
Wow. Theater experience?
No.
You don't?
No.
I don't know if this was his first one or not, but I remember going to see the Clone Wars movie, and you dressed up as a clone. You got a costume, and you had the helmet that you're talking about. He was wearing and he was wearing a Clone Wars Captain Rex. And we didn't obviously even know any of these characters.
It was just a cool costume.
But we went to see that in the theater when it came out. But that was 2007, 2008? So I think you've probably been to a movie before that.
Probably.
Yeah, so anyway.
Probably a plug, so.
All right.
Our first Star Wars movie, though, was in theater was...
CFA.
The Force Awakens,
yeah, for you guys. Yeah.
The start of the sequel trilogy.
The start of the sequels. It really was the start of this... the fact that they were coming out with the sequel trilogy and the trailers for it... and all that kind of stuff that sort of reintroduced you guys to Star Wars and got you back into it. That's when we started watching Rebels. That's when we had to go back and watch Clone Wars because of Darth
Maul. I remember the night the trailer came out. It also came out with the tickets. We watched the trailer. Nate and I were freaking out about it. The Force Awakens? Yeah, The Force Awakens. Yeah. And we were freaking out, loving it. You guys were on the website trying to get tickets. And the theater's website crashed.
We're crashing the whole time for 45 minutes.
So mom and I ran down to the movie theater.
Yeah, all three of you guys. Did.
Okay, we ran down to the theater, bought the tickets, and at the time we got these exclusive 3D glasses, which we still have. And every time we watch Star Wars, we watch them with those.
Or 3D, any 3D movie like
3D
that.
3D movies, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. So it was fun.
Yeah, and then, of course, I'm thinking about you guys going to Alabama for spring break. The Chewie We're Home trailer... that premiered at Star Wars Celebration in 2015. The one where we first see Han Solo.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You guys were in Alabama on spring break when that happened.
Really?
We were moving back into our house here in Colorado Springs after having been on the road for a year, which is a whole other story that I don't know if we've ever told on here before.
Cool.
But anyway, we were on the road with that with Promise Keepers for a year. And then we came back home, moved back into the house while you guys were in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were trying to get the washing machine fixed when that trailer premiered. And I was watching it on my phone. I texted it to you guys and had you guys watch it with me, like, at the same time. And we, mm-hmm. you guys were freaking out. It was pretty amazing.
It was fun.
Yeah, so that's cool. Awesome.
All right, so Kaz and Tora have gotten themselves into a lot of trouble as they search for some friends who have disappeared off the Colossus. Will Kaz be able to talk his way out of this one? It's time for Star Wars Resistance Recap.
We have a mission for you.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
How do we blow it up? There's always a way to do that.
Droid, please.
Light it up.
Light it up. I can do that. Oh, sorry. I'm live. Go.
We were muted.
I wasn't muted. Okay, go.
Light it up.
All right, so the synopsis goes... spoiler alert, by the way.
Spoiler! Hold on. I gotta do a spoiler. All right, go.
All right. The episode begins with a race as the Aces are finally flying again, which was nice. I'm just,
oh, yeah, it was like awesome for like all 4 seconds.
Right.
I was like so relieved.
But it quickly becomes clear that Commander Pyre and the First Order want the races and all other non-First Order flying around the place to stop. On a station known for its superstar pilots and nail-biting races, the news that races are canceled indefinitely was unwelcome. Adding to that, the Aces could no longer protect the station themselves. The pilots are livid. Hype Faison most of all. And then...
I got a bad feeling about this.
And then Hype... I'm sorry. I zoned out there for a second. I was trying to read ahead and anyway.
Okay,
I'll just restart. That's okay. The pilots are livid. Hype Faison most of all. And then Hype disappears.
Oh.
You can't keep doing that. It throws me off.
I know. I'm trying to see what I could do here. Go.
Turns out he isn't the only one who has disappeared. Other residents on the Colossus have gone missing. When asked by Tam, the stormtroopers say that the missing have gotten permission to leave the station. But Tam seems to be the only one who believes it.
Hold on.
Impressive. Every word in that sense was wrong.
So I'm just going to do some sound effects this whole time. Just mess you up. Go. Keep going. Why are you holding off?
I'm waiting for you to start talking.
I'm waiting for you to start talking.
When Colossus barkeep and linchpin Aunt Z goes missing.
Misty? If it was a really hot day, that'd be nice. You know those misters like at the amusement parks? So anyway. That's not the same thing, is it?
No. Goes missing after she denies the First Order permission to put recruiting advertisements in her bar. Kaz and Tora know they have to do something. For once, Yeager and Captain Doza don't stop Kaz's escapade, though they notably don't help him either. Kaz and Tora take out the prisoner transport meant to transport the missing Colossus denizens?
Denizens, yeah. Like,
why don't they just say citizens?
Citizens.
Whatever.
Why? Because they're trying to help you learn some new words.
Thank you. And help Aunt Z and the others escape the station. But things get much, much worse. Kaz returns to find Yeager's whole team being arrested by Commander Pyre.
And we're going to... I'm trying to source this amazing bit of prose. Who was that from?
Bleedingcool.com.
Bleedingcool.com wrote that. Cool. And so we stole their synopsis.
You could really pull off an old Luke Skywalker.
What?
Look over to that. If you grew out your hair for April...
My hair's not going to grow that fast for April. I'm just going to be honest.
Don't cut it or anything.
All right, so anyway. Yes.
What do you think, Dad? What was your favorite part of this episode? Or what was
the end? And I'm not trying to be snarky with that.
My favorite part was when it was over.
There are sometimes people ask me what my favorite part in a certain movie was, and I say things like the credits, and I'm like being like, it's over, and I'm thank God it was over.
Like what?
Well, I'm not going to say that because I don't want to offend any of our listeners.
Oh, no, you wouldn't offend me.
There's just been a couple movies that have been very, big tentpole superhero movies that have... I've walked out of the theater going, what in the world was that? But anyway, I'm not going to...
I want to ask you. They kind of left you thirsty afterward?
Aquaman?
Oh, no, that Aquaman wasn't bad. It was all right. Anyway. Anyway, I don't want to do this. So,
anyway.
The ending... You know, I mean, they walk up and Yeager and Doza are trying to save them. And you've got this the First Order Empire, and it's like, oh yeah, this is for real now. I mean, Kaz has been outed as a spy. He's working with the Resistance. Everybody on the Colossus knows. The First Order knows. That's my favorite part. It's like, yeah, now we're moving forward in the storyline. It's for real. No more
Disney Channel.
We're gonna get to some Star Wars,
some Disney X.
I like the series, but this is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
This is what Steven Stanton told us was gonna come. It's finally here, and we've got 3 episodes left. So,
what about you, Nate? I really enjoyed this episode all around. I thought it was really interesting. Tam, now we gotta talk about that. She's starting to. I don't know. I feel like she's starting to not like the First Order more.
No, I think she's still completely, hook, line, and sinker swallowing their line. Yeah, I'm serious. I think that she's totally bought in.
Yeah.
She thinks that they're the good guys, and she's opposed to anybody that's against them, and I think that it was just solidified in this episode. I'm so nervous about it. Think
that she could be, she'd be fine with that. Like, she does realize they're stormtroopers, right? Does she know what stormtroopers did? Like,
yeah, but you know, it's what we talked about before. You know, this idea.
I mean,
you know,
those just watch the animated series of Rebels. Like,
come on,
yeah, all on. And just go back and watch Kanan and Rebels and all that, right? Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Okay, so it's 30 years after the Empire, and the Empire were the, you know, it'd be almost like. I don't even want to go down a political route, because if you try to talk about politics with it, it gets misinterpreted if you use it as an example. So
right.
I just, you know, it's a situation where there are people going all the way back to the original trilogy, you know, in this galaxy, that look at the Empire as being a good political organization, and all the stuff, you know, and I've checked out a little bit of the Legends of Luke Skywalker, and, you know, there's this idea that the rebels were actually really terrorists. They're the bad guys.
So you didn't even think about their tactics. Yeah. They were
right,
especially Saw Gerrera.
Exactly, and so you know all the stuff that the rebellion or the New Republic has said about the Empire is a bunch of lies, and the first, you know, the galaxy is spiraling into chaos, and the First Order's there to restore order, and we need that, and so that's right. That's sort of the position that Tam has fallen into in this. And I, for one, am really glad and excited about the fact that they've got that kind of a character in this show.
Yeah.
Because it allows us to take the First Order threat more seriously. Mm-hmm. It makes us understand how the First Order could rise from the ashes of the Empire. I like that idea. It's one of the reasons I like the Bloodlines novel.
I agree.
So anyway.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. I remember like a little bit of the beginning and then the end. I just remember they were sneaking around a lot, but I really enjoyed the episode. I really enjoyed. It was crazy how Aunt Z just stood up to those stormtroopers. No, never, did not never hesitated. No.
But that's because Aunt Z was around during the Galactic Empire.
Right.
She experienced the Galactic Empire, so she's not. It's not these. You know, let's just be honest. In today's world, there's this neo-Nazi movement in Europe and in the United States. This idea of the Nazis, you know, all the things that you've heard that were negative about them were lies. The Holocaust isn't true, which is all a bunch of garbage. But there's this movement, and it usually attracts young people that weren't around during World War II and don't understand the reality of what happened.
And they weren't taught what happened.
And they weren't taught, and they've been given lies, mm-hmm. and they don't know any better.
Right.
But people that experienced World War II know what the Nazis were. Mm-hmm. They'll never support it.
Right.
You know, and so it's the same thing with the Galactic Empire stuff. So.
Interesting. Yep. Interesting. Anyway. Life imitates art. What was the
other way around? Art imitates life.
No, I thought it was life imitates art.
No, art. Art is imitating life in this case. Mm-hmm. It's not life entertaining.
Oh, well, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, I've heard it both ways. Okay.
Yeah.
Pineapple. All right.
did you not like anything in this episode, Dad?
There was no. What? Who? What is his name?
Obi-Pitt.
There's no Obi-Pitt.
That's pretty much the only gripe I'd have for this episode. Yeah. It was good.
It was good.
Yeah, I mean,
am I allowed to say this?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make a lot of people mad at me
Probably.
Probably.
I'm not a fan of Hype Faison.
What about him?
I don't really care for his character. I think it's way too much hype. It's like so over the top. It's hard for me to take him seriously.
That's
the idea.
That's the point.
His name is Hype Faison.
I get it.
That's the idea, Dad.
I get it. I'm just saying. You know. Yes.
And it's a kids show, so all the characters have to be. Right. It's supposed to be really exaggerated so the kids can understand what's going on.
Well,
they can't pick up on subtleties.
If that's what they're going for, that's what they're getting.
Right.
So, okay. Anyway, yeah.
I like Hype.
Good.
For one.
I'm allowed to know.
We should get Donald Faison.
But Donald, if you want to come on the podcast.
Yeah, after that.
You'll be my favorite character.
Was there, so Nate, there's not actually anything you disliked? Yeah, I agree.
It's hard to think of anything, really.
Yeah, I mean, the episodes have just consistently been getting better.
You don't have to deal with Hype anymore.
No, he's gone. Oh, that was cool. He's going to Takadana.
We didn't even talk about that.
Aunt Z and that one dude who was like...
So was there, what's the species? Rodian. Was there any Rodians in Takadana and Maz's palace in Force Awakens?
I don't remember.
Because if there was... Oh my goodness. Is that Hype?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
All right, and then the next week's episode is Descent. That's the title, right?
Yeah, Descent. Okay. Yeah. Good reading.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a very good reader.
This is madness.
I'm an excellent reader.
All right. And the description goes, after the First Order discovered the Fireball was the ship that crossed into their territory, Yeager's crew must evade troopers hunting them down. After realizing that Kaz and Yeager have been lying to her, Tam decides to stay with the troopers, convinced her own innocence will save her from the wrath of the First Order. Ooh, I didn't know this. That's interesting.
It's complicated. Which is the name of the clip we should play.
You are all under arrest for conspiring against the First Order.
You can't threaten us with false charges. Prove it or get out.
Resistance spies were reported in First Order territory. Have you ever been to Sector Epsilon 513?
I've never even heard of it.
We have visual confirmation it was this ship that intruded in our territory. That sector is off limits. Impound it!
You can't impound the Fireball! Tell them this is all a mistake! Kaz!
Tam, it's complicated.
Take them into custody.
So have you seen the clip?
I have not. So that would probably make a lot more sense.
Yeah, it would.
Too. So basically, there wasn't a lot of dialogue there.
Yeah, it picks up immediately following the end of the last
episode. Okay, I figured.
So they're in there, and there's this moment, and they basically, they turn on... I don't think my mic's working right now, so give me a second. Okay, so basically what happens is it picks up right where it left off in the last episode, and they, you know, are trying to talk their way out of it, Kaz is, in the clip, and then it doesn't work out. They end up... Bucket, like, sprays a bunch of mist or smoke into the air to create a smoke screen.
Yeah.
And then they... attack the First Order, and
I gotta say this. I've been thinking about this for a while, and okay, so what if this? They've never followed up right after an episode. They've never,
they've never picked us up on a cliffhanger, though. Yeah,
that's true. This is the first real cliffhanger.
This is gonna be the episode where Kaz and Tora run out, and they're sneaking around with the First Order, and then they find a hologram General Hux. Announcing that he's going to destroy
maybe
Hosnian Prime.
I mean, the
timing is there.
The timing is perfect.
Yeah, because Kaz, or excuse me,
it's about at least a
Poe and BB-8 have already gone to Jakku. You know, it could have been within a couple of days. Because I mean, because from the episode, okay, so the episode, the core dilemma,
yes,
ends.
The core problem.
Is it the core problem or the core dilemma?
Core problem.
Core problem? Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. We know
the core problem. They end up Cat or Poe and BB-8 go to Jakku, and then it picks up in this episode we just watched, The Disappeared. It has to have, some time had to have elapsed because they're doing races and...
Yeah, it's all just kind of functioning normally except for the...
Yeah, so I mean, it's not like it happened. I don't think it's like the next morning they start running races.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think it's been a few days. If that's the case, then it's very possible that the next episode is the episode where we see Hux's famous speech from Starkiller Base.
Because if you think about it, Bucket could knock those stormtroopers down and Kaz runs and brings Tora. And then they're sneaking around trying to get away from the First Order and they hide behind a crate. You see it in the mid-season trailer.
Right.
They're both behind a crate.
And it was at nighttime.
What do you think about the Tam thing, though? Because Tam sticks around. Geez. We know she's going to stay with the First Order after this confrontation at the beginning of the next episode. And Yeager and the rest of them are going to be evading the First Order while she stays with them.
And she's going to stay with them and get captured, and then she's going to be like, I don't like the First Order anymore. And then she's going to help Kaz, and they're going to be the new resistance and go to
Batuu. Why do you think they're capturing her? She's been loyal to the First Order.
She's the only person left. And this is why she'll now figure out, okay, the First Order's not right. Because she's probably thinking the same thing like you were. She didn't do anything wrong. She was just there. She was just part of the group.
Right. She didn't know.
Yes.
But she is innocent.
It's the First Order. And that's what's going to teach her. They arrest innocent people for doing nothing.
Well, I think that they're going to use her for leverage to try to get Yeager and Kaz to turn themselves in.
Probably.
And so that's what... And that's what's going to turn her to the Resistance. And she's going to see how evil the First Order really is. In that one, so it should be interesting.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
This is going to be a good.
You guys will be in Alabama. I guess you're going to have to watch it on a computer or something like that.
We'll have to get our login information.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But I'll watch
it. So there's only like 3 episodes left, right?
I know, we got this one and then a 2-part finale.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That went by fast.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. Our first look at the Fall of the Jedi Order will take place at Celebration in April. It's not really a surprise, but the Star Wars theme has been voted the best tune of all time.
Really?
And Topher Grace should be put in charge of every Star Wars trailer from here to eternity. It's time for hot takes. Where's my notes?
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Star Wars Fallen, or Jedi, Star, let me start that again.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order
game unveils set for Star Wars Celebration. This is from Variety.com. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Respawn Entertainment's long-awaited action-adventure game, will be revealed in Chicago during Star Wars Celebration in April, according to the StarWars.com website. A special panel on April 13th, which JG can confirm on the live YouTube right now, because he's putting together the schedule for everybody, will give would-be players a first look at the EA-published game that centers around a Padawan who survived Order 66 and explores the galaxy in the time after the fall of the Jedi Order. The discussion will feature never-before-released details ahead of the game's fall 2019 release, according to the site. Other video games that will make an appearance at the annual Star Wars event include Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, Star Wars Pinball, and there will be a special event for Star Wars The Old Republic. BB Nate.
You think Benioff and Wise are going to
crash? This is like my section. I learned all thing about it.
Go for it. Tell us what you think.
Fallen Order. Now, they're like never-before-released details. But I hope it's about Kanan.
Caleb Doom? You want it to be Caleb?
I do.
It might be too predictable, though, because they've already explored
that. But it's in a comic that they only had 6 or 7 issues for.
That's a lot.
That 6 or 7 issues is considered a miniseries.
Right.
And it wasn't a popular series.
How long of a time period did it cover?
It covered, like, maybe...
Anybody know on YouTube, you're allowed to tell us.
Like, probably... 6 or 7 months at the most.
He's in his 30s by the time we get to Star Wars Rebels. So
it covered, at least from what I read, when he was a kid, literally falling. They show Order 66 happening.
Right, so you could start the storyline off with some of that stuff, and then move forward where he's doing. I would think it would be a great idea. I think Ahsoka Tano would be great as well.
And Respawn is having their hands full. Because, yes, there is an EA, but they made Apex and Titanfall.
Wow.
So they've got a lot.
They have a lot.
They do good games, too.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about these games.
Yeah, no, they're pretty big. They've made some pretty big hit
games. They're making a third Titanfall from EA, which is a very big
series.
As for the Caleb Dune thing, I want to see a new character. I want to see fresh character. Well, yeah, I'd like to play his story. I want a new guy. I want a new to follow a brand new Padawan. That way, it feels like you're less reliving the story and more experiencing it with the character at the time.
Yeah, the challenge that you have with that is you get to the original trilogy and you still have the problem
I've thought about that
there's no Jedi.
I know.
Caleb Dune, Kanan Jarrus, had to die in Rebels because they couldn't have him around.
Ezra
had to be sucked off into the unknown regions at
what
the
about
end
Ahsoka?
Of that. Ahsoka's not a Jedi.
And
I'm no Jedi, she said.
And we've seen her.
And she was in hiding during that period of time.
This amazing Padawan couldn't follow any.
Well, I mean, I get it, but you keep adding Jedi to it, and it takes the weight of the original trilogy, the idea of he is our last hope, no, there's another, meaning his sister, all that stuff. You take all that, the weight of that out, if there's these Jedi floating around all over the place, and we just, oh, well, we want to make a game, so let's throw another Jedi and make a new canon Jedi. That's my opinion. Plus, I like Kanan Jarrus.
And Ahsoka.
It is a good book. Okay. So are we done with that topic, or you have something else
and,
you want to say?
The Old Republic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What do you think about that?
Old
Republic game. Knights of the Old Republic. What are you thinking?
And since we're
seeing Benioff and Wise, you're going to be there?
I don't think that's going to have anything. It's a game panel. It's not a movie panel. It's a game panel.
A game panel where they're announced.
Well, anyway, I still think it's cool.
But
I like the idea.
Speaking of panels, somebody was like, is it too much to ask for the Phantom Menace 20th anniversary panel for it to either open up or something with Weird Al doing The Saga Begins?
Yes!
Well, I would be
okay with want that. Nobody else would, but I want it.
No, this was an idea.
No, I think it would be huge. I think people would be singing it.
I would love
in the
it.
Audience. Can you imagine like 20,000 Star Wars fans all throughout the McCormick place singing My Mr. Anakin guy? Yeah, I think it would be awesome.
That would be awesome. I want it now. Let's start a petition.
Swinging their lightsabers around? Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm all
that would
for
be
it.
A lot of fun, actually.
Hey, JG, make this happen for us. I don't know if you have any, you don't have any cloud at all. I know you're just collecting data and putting it in a spreadsheet, basically, but you know.
Figure it out.
Talk to somebody. Make it happen. All right. Star Wars
strings.
Speaking of music and Star Wars theme tune voted the best of all time. And I'm going to give a shout out right now to the source of this article. express.co.uk.
Oh gosh.
So why did you
But here's the best part. It's actually a fact-based article. And
what?
So I want to commend them for writing an article that actually was based on fact. It's awesome.
How can you believe that though?
I can't. I researched it enough to know. So
wow.
I had to. Yeah, The Force was with John Williams' 1977 composition, and it won more than 20% of the votes in a poll carried out by Radio Times and BBC Music Magazine. Mm. Controversially, the James Bond theme, composed by Monty Norman and aired in 1962's Dr. No, finished only in the 11th place. Oof. Elmer Bernstein's theme to the POW epic The Great Escape. Came in 17th, while Henry Mancini's Pink Panther theme, was 19th in the poll of more than 2,000 readers. U.S. composer Williams, 87 years old, took 6 spots in the top 10.
Wow.
With Hedwig's theme from the 2001 Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone movie making the 3rd spot, and the theme from Jurassic Park making the 4th. What do you guys think of it? You're a big movie, music.
Oh, love.
Love that kind of stuff. You think John Williams is awesome. What did you think? The greatest composer of our era.
Absolutely.
And the Beethoven. On par with Beethoven, Mozart,
which
Bach.
Could sound controversial, but...
It's not.
We don't make symphonies anymore. We make movie themes. And his movie themes are on par with Beethoven's symphonies.
Yeah.
And things like that. I mean, it's amazing. So no surprise that he's up there with that.
He's amazing.
Absolutely.
Yep, that's
so awesome. You're talking about his the main theme, like with the title that one. I wouldn't have. I mean, I like it. It's probably one of the most recognizable tunes ever. But I don't know why. If I would have picked that as the, his.
Well, best if you were to pick a different one, what would you have picked?
Forest theme.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I get chills every time I think about it.
I think about it. And now, when I think of for decades, the Force theme has always been the moment when Luke comes out in Tatooine and he's staring into the suns at the sunset and he's, you know, looking off into the horizon, that kind of thing. That's always what I think of with the Force
theme. And every time.
Until.
Uh-oh.
Until the Solo movie. And now when Han and Chewie see the Falcon for the first time and that theme starts to swell, I, like, yeah, that's...
Every time you talk about Luke sitting on Tatooine, I think of the Phineas and Ferb special when the dad's like, oh, you should be standing out and staring into the two suns.
Oh, jeez.
That was actually really fun. Yes,
it's an awesome special, by the way.
At the beginning, like, there's a title call, and they're like, don't worry, fanboys, none of this is official. Like,
yeah, it's not canon.
Right.
Right.
Just relax.
That was a lot of fun.
What did you think about the John Williams thing?
Oh, that's great. So he had 6 spots.
He had 6 in the top 10, according to this poll.
That is nuts. That means there's only 4 other people in the top 10.
Yeah, and they were mentioned. The Doctor, the James Bond theme, The Great Escape, and the Pink Panther theme. Okay, so they mentioned 3 of them.
I don't remember the Great Escape theme.
Yeah, I'm sure if you heard it, you'd recognize it.
And then Pink Panther theme, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder his 3 other ones.
It's the Great Escape is da-dum, da-da-da-da-dum. You've seen that movie,
And then the Pink Panther crawl under the tunnel.
You guys know the Pink,
Oh, I know the Pink Panther.
Yeah, and then Dark. I can't for some reason the Bond theme is eluding me in my.
You like have the guitar, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember. Da 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 da.
Should I get it going on my phone?
What were those 3 other ones?
I don't know. I don't remember the list.
I think
we don't have time for it. So
no,
probably be Jaws.
Yeah, no, we got to move on. All right, we're gonna move on. Like we're gonna be like that website. We're gonna moveon.org.
What?
I don't know. So anyway, all right. Topher Grace. You guys know who Topher Grace is, right?
No.
Topher Grace. He played Eddie Brock in the Jesus Told Me to Leave the movie theater Spider-Man.
Oh!
That's a story.
Let's tell it.
Oh, no. Not
so
right
Sam
now.
Sam was what, 4 or 5 years
just
old?
Just leave it for our
it's okay.
YouTubers.
Okay, we'll tell. Okay, that's right. We'll save this for you guys watching on YouTube after this segment's over. So remind us in the comments.
Yeah, and then these exclusives. People that are listening to this will be like, oh,
wait, we should have been watching it on YouTube. And you're right. Like, and the reason, the only way you know whether or not we're actually doing the live is for you to subscribe and turn on the notifications. Right, you will miss it next time.
Right.
But we're not telling this story on the podcast. We're telling it on YouTube live after the podcast in a second. All right. Topher Grace's Star Wars Always Supercut. Did you see this thing?
I have not.
I sent it to you.
I know. Well,
you're driving. Oh my gosh, Samuel.
The one problem is if you're driving.
Responsibilities.
He was driving and then we were at church and then we didn't have time.
You know, I got a life.
So anyway, Topher Grace's Star Wars Always Supercut blends footage of the best known films to suggest a radical vision for the saga. So imagine if all the Star Wars movies had been produced by a single creative mind across 20 years or so, as opposed to being developed over roughly half a century as a mixed bag of movies, courtesy of wildly varying creative forces. The result, shrunk down into miniature, might have looked something like a new Star Wars Always trailer posted this week by actor and superfan Topher Grace, which blends footage from 10 of the best-known films into a remarkable, seamless 5-minute cut. It's absolutely amazing. What do you well, you saw it, BB Nate.
I could not.
You did? I thought you watched it. I thought you said you watched it.
I think I did.
You guys suck.
I thought I did.
You said when I replied, sent it to you, you saw it was amazing.
Oh, I did. Yes, it was amazing. It's like chilling. I don't. And he's an actor, and I wouldn't think of him like that. He seems like...
He's a movie guy.
Yes, and he has probably too much on his hands.
He's good at this. This is amazing. I encourage you to check it out. Maybe Sam will do it. Sometime.
Sometime.
All right, that was anticlimactic.
Well, what was I supposed to do?
All right. Well, Watch it. It's awesome. Star Wars Always. Check it out. You'll, like, be chilled.
Yeah, I just want to take a break here and ask a question to all of you listening to this podcast. Have you actually ever thought about starting a podcast yourself? A year ago, roughly, December of 2017, when we decided to start our own podcast and Tatooine Sons became a real thing, we had lots of questions. Like, how do we record an episode? How do we get our show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the other places people listen to podcasts? And then how do we make money from it? And the answer to every one of these questions that we found over the last year is really simple. It's Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can actually match you with some great sponsors too, so you can actually get paid to podcast. And that's one of the things we love. We're getting sponsors reaching out to us about about sponsoring our Tatooine Sons podcast has been awesome, but also the ease to getting this out there to all of the other platforms. And so if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. We can't wait to hear your podcast.
So after years of wondering and dreaming and hoping, we've got our first in-depth look at Star Wars Galaxy Edge. And the details are staggering. I can't really do staggering at this time. Yeah, whatever that is. And this episode might be a long one. Punch it, Chewie.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Yeah, maybe not the right punch. Punch it, Chewie may not have worked going into that thing. But anyway, this I stole all of this content from CNN.com because they steal their news from everyone else too.
Oh, and the makeup some.
Okay. Anyway, Galaxy's Edge promises to do the one thing that 10 and counting feature films, shows, books, games, and more have never been able to deliver. A fully physical and immersive experience with the look, feel, sound, smells, and even tastes.
Well, I mean,
of Star Wars. It's a detailed and architecturally accurate 14-acre playground.
Is that big?
That's big enough. With character interactions, unique food, and shopping you won't find outside the parks. And of course, some rides.
Oh.
So you guys, like, if you guys, let's not, like, we're going to go into...
There's only, like, two rides, though, right?
We're going to break it down. We're going to talk about the backstory. We're going to talk about the rides. We're going to talk about the location. We're going to talk about the food. We're going to talk about the shopping, all that stuff. But what's your initial, did you guys, like, check out any of this stuff?
A little bit, yeah.
I checked out all of it and more, probably too much. But they did not say that they were going to have more than two rides, but they did say they had two... The Rise of Resistance and Millennium Falcon are the two anchor rides, the big rides. So they'll probably have...
So, like, Tomorrowland, the big ride is Space Mountain.
And Star Tours.
Right. But they've got all those.
And the Buzz Lightyears and then the weird...
That'd be cool.
Astro Spinners thing.
All right, so let's talk about it. There's backstory to this.
There is backstory.
There's a backstory to Batu, or to Galaxy's Edge. The planet is called Batu, an Earth-like planet full of giant, ancient, petrified tree stumps up to 135 feet.
That's pretty tall.
In the parks. That's pretty tall. Located in the uncharted Outer Rim. Here we go again. Its main town, Black Spire Outpost, named after one mysteriously dark tree stump, was once along the main trade route, but has now become more of a haven for smugglers and traders. Not traitors, like traders, like people, like trading. items.
I think
it makes more sense that way. The First Order has also just arrived looking for evidence of the Resistance. A theme park attraction doesn't normally require a story or a timeline, and for some guests it won't matter, but this is Star Wars, which is foremost an epic myth. To be authentic, a fictional destination like Batuu needs to fit on a galactic map and within the established narrative timeline. In this chapter, however, you are invited to be a character. Samuel Hutt, what is your initial thoughts on the backstory idea?
I don't know. I'm so excited. Okay. That has been a dream. This is a dream of mine. It's been for years, ever since I've been a Star Wars.
Yeah, because you're so old.
Right.
And you've been involved, loved Star Wars for 5 years.
But I see these things on Facebook, and it's blue pill or red pill? Blue pill brings the Star Wars character to your world. Red pill, you live in the Star Wars universe. I take the red pill in heart.
Or green pill. Both.
You just make stuff up, don't you? What is your thoughts on the backstory?
You were trying to talk about it at lunch, and I wouldn't let you give all of it.
So tell us.
You did give all of it. Rise of the Resistance and probably Episode 9.
What's Rise of the Resistance? That's the ride. Right, we're going to talk about that in a minute, okay?
But they don't have it in here because of CNN. But on the
We're going to have it in a minute.
Yeah, but the Star Wars...
No, what he's about to say.
Okay, so say it.
But the Star Wars, they said that this, the game is, the ride is going to be set on the kind of the back parts of Black Spire Outpost, and also is when the Resistance just got back up on their feet and they're trying to rebuild. And they didn't say in between Episode 8 or 9, but they don't think they've had a destruction so big where at the end of Last Jedi, where he's like, what do we do now? And Leia says, we rebuild.
So your understanding is that Batuu is the location that they decide to rebuild the Resistance.
They said that the Resistance base is there and First Order trying to find it.
Well, now that's an interesting development because they've been filming for Episode 9 in the location that they thought reminded people a lot of Yavin 4.
Oh.
But there's also a lot of discussion in this article and some other things I've read that Batuu sort of patterns itself and has a Yavin 4 feel to it.
Yeah.
So do you think that Batuu is prevalent in Star Wars Episode 9, Samuel?
I feel like yes.
You do?
Yes.
That's intense if they try to pull that off.
Jeez. This is probably Disney's and Star Wars' most ambitious, project.
If Episode 9 is the location of the Resistance headquarters in Star Wars Episode 9. If Batuu is in Episode 9, that's going to be a major, major thing to pull off.
And they're just going to throw Kaz in Episode 9, because why not?
Why not? Okay. That's cool. So let's talk about the rides for just a minute. There's two that they've confirmed. Two anchor rides that they've confirmed. Rise of the Resistance. All right, so I've kind of tried to piece together the description to try to make sense of it without it being 4 pages long. A cinematic experience with a ride inside. Okay, so it's a movie feel. Like you're experiencing a movie with a ride inside.
It's like 4D if they went full.
Okay. So it's like a... it's an interactive experience that isn't all on a ride.
You know those, 3 or 4 movies that have come out where it's all first person, right?
Mm.
Imagine that you see a Star Wars character going through a First Order base. You're that character.
So you're going to be sitting in front of a screen?
No, Sammy, you're going to be
living
a movie.
So you'll be walking around, experiencing it, then occasionally getting on a ride, and so
forth. They said that it's going to be a gloriously... This is exactly what they said. A gloriously long ride.
Will you say it just like that one more time? Facial expressions and everything? Because that was awesome. I don't remember
what my facial expression was like.
But try it again.
Gloriously.
Gloriously.
Long ride. And they said that you'll love it.
I heard that this is the longest.
So here's where it comes. Like I was talking about this a minute ago. Your adventure will take place inside the corridors of a rebel base in ancient sacred caves, shades of the base on Yavin 4. It looks like the Yavin, feels like Yavin 4.
Well, they said rebel base.
Right? And it's resistance, same thing. And onto a troop transport ship where you will be captured by a Star Destroyer and then thrown in a prison cell block where you belong, rebel scum. What do you think?
That's going to be very reactive for most of this. It's just...
Thanks, son.
And also, I heard that you will be coming face to face with Kylo.
Well, we're going
to
talk about that next. Cameos include Rey, Poe, Finn, Kylo Ren, BB-8, a John Williams score, those classic blue Rebel light panel battle maps, a full-sized AT-AT transport walker, and a massive Star Destroyer hangar bay with a window looking out into space. It will be one of the longest rides in the park and require Disney's cast members to join in the action.
So it's not going to be all animatronic.
No, it's going to have like stormtroopers and rebels and
Hondo is going to be in there.
Hondo and Naka, they have an animatronic of it that looks absolutely amazing.
And Rey.
But that's not yet. That's in the next one.
Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Adam Driver.
Animatronics.
Those, yes.
Yeah.
But they all reprised their voices. They all did their voice. And BB-8's going to actually.
But the Hondo and Naka is not on Rise of Resistance.
No, so. But. So, I don't know what to say. I gotta gather my thoughts though. I gotta think.
Shouldn't take long.
Nah, it shouldn't. Okay. So do you think, and we've theorized this, like, so the, you're, with the Resistance, you're in the base. That's part of the queue line, but it doesn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
You go on a troop transport. That's part of the ride. You get captured. That's all part of the ride. Then you're transferred to a holding cell. That's part of a queue line. Then after the holding cell, you're broken out. That's part of the ride. And then you get on something else, and it's a queue line. So basically, it's just a really well-integrated queue line. So
I'm hoping that if you're in the queue line for 3 or 4 hours, you're experiencing like, fully immersive Star Wars.
You know what? I wouldn't care if I'm sitting in a cell for 4 hours with nothing to do.
Especially if there's like First Order troopers
walking by,
coming by or, and like mocking you, and like you're dealing with.
Like I would not care.
Put me in jail, baby.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I will pay you money.
They said it would be the longest ride, not queue line. I feel like that's going to be...
Well, the ride's 30 minutes long itself.
Yes.
But the queue line itself, if it's fully interactive, it's fully immersive, it's worth every second of it.
When they released the Galaxy's Edge, even announcing it, they said that the queue lines are not going to just be like Hyperspace Mountain that...
Right.
At Disneyland After Dark, you just stand in there. They said it's going to be fully immersive and you'll have stuff to do.
Yeah.
Sort of like... what was it? Guardians of the Galaxy Breakout.
Yes.
But even better.
But even better. They said you'll have stuff to do during the queue lines.
Yeah.
I think there was stuff to do.
There's a lot more I'm hoping for.
Anyway, I'm pumped. I'm
pretty cool. All right, let's talk about the next ride. Smuggler's Run. This is the one I'm excited about.
Well, obviously.
Smuggler's Run will let you pilot. Dramatic pause for the biggest spoiler. The Millennium Falcon on a cargo mission. The most selfied part of Galaxy's Edge will no doubt be the docked, full-scale, 100-plus-foot-long, movie-perfect Millennium Falcon that can be viewed at all angles, even from above.
So it's like they just parked the Falcon in the park.
You know the props for the Millennium Falcon in the movies? They basically built...
That. And I've heard it described, so to keep the movie realistic feel, the entrance, so to speak, to the ride is not like neon signs flashing to it. It's like really, it's integrated. It looks like it's just the ramp to the Falcon. But that's the entrance to the ride.
I'll have to show you, they had a photo of it almost done with four panels needing to be put on and how it will look like. Wow. I'll have to show you guys.
So Smuggler's Run mission is directed by a next generation animatronic Hondo Inaka.
Oh.
A Star Wars character who's only ever been rendered in animation in the Clone Wars and Rebels TV shows, books, and games. As a crew of six, you fly a mission on the Falcon, which is fast enough for you, old man. That's for me. Yeah, it's fast enough. I'll take it. You can call me an old man. So here's my question. If they're trying to make this fully integrated, this is the base from Episode 9. Let's kind of explore this idea that we talked about a minute ago. It makes sense that the Falcon would be there.
Yeah.
Do Rey and Poe and Finn and Rose alter the Millennium Falcon to have six seats in the cockpit so that it fits with what happens in Episode 9? Do they do that? so that when you get on it, you feel like you're in the real Millennium Falcon. Because here's the problem for me. As a huge Star Wars fan, you walk into the Millennium Falcon cockpit, there's only supposed to be two seats. There's Han's seat, there's Chewie's seat, and then people stand and hang out behind that.
Well, there was two
or sit
seats
behind
that.
That. There's two but seats it's not the that. Six seats.
No, there's not
so
six
there's,
seats.
So it pulls me out of the story. When I've seen the videos like we saw on Christmas Day and all that stuff, when they show the six seats, it pulls me out of the experience because that's not the way the Falcon's supposed to be. I get it. They need to have six seats in there in order to make the ride move and for families and stuff like that. I get it. I get it. But it doesn't still, at that point, it doesn't feel like the Falcon.
I forget. Where is the sixth seat located?
No, they're just like three rows of two seats on the thing, and they're all having a role. So do they change the Falcon before? I mean, is that the extent that they're going to go to try to integrate this together? If Episode 9 is as integrated with Galaxy's Edge and Galaxy's Edge is as integrated with Episode 9, do they change the Falcon for Episode 9 to
have six seats?
Or
maybe they retcon it to where there were two seats in the back the whole time, but they weren't like seats with chair backs. They were like little panels on the side of the wall that you pull out and then you sit on.
You gotta make it real.
You gotta I don't know. It. So it's a whole Falcon, and I think the Q line is out of the Falcon. I think you get to use the whole Falcon.
Yeah, I get that. I'm talking about the six seats for the actual ride.
I know you're talking about the six seats, but with Sammy's idea of the panels being pulled out, maybe those are there. I feel like for it to be even as immersive as you want, those two people, I feel like it could be like, say, an escape room.
And you have to run around the Falcon.
And you have to run around the Falcon.
No, because we saw in the
sneak peek that was on Christmas Day.
Right.
There were six seats in the Falcon.
Right, with all the people in the cockpit.
They were all sitting there. They all had their own job and that kind of thing.
But I don't know what jobs the other two people in the back would have.
How many are the jobs and the people behind
the
pilot?
The point is, I'm curious to see if they're trying to make that fit. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I know what you mean.
All right, so the level of your collective success in Smuggler's Run is determined by how well you pilot and shoot your way out of trouble. To reward getting back in the queue again, so they're trying to get you back in the line to do the ride again.
To
reward you to get back into the queue, Smuggler's Run has so much variability that, like a video game, each ride will be unique.
So it's going to be even more different than Star Tours, because it's not just a randomly generated series of clips.
You have
this
to do
is
it.
A video game where it's all dependent on how you do it.
Right.
So
yeah, I'm ready.
He said, "Shoot your way out." Maybe Nate's.
Well,
not,
yeah.
Maybe
they're
Nate's
guns. Maybe they moved the guns into that situation.
Maybe Nate's onto a point, though. Maybe you do have to run and go sit in,
or maybe the seat like or one of the jobs.
Could you imagine sitting?
Put me in the seat. I want to either pilot the thing or shoot the guns that Luke and Han show.
The ones where like the seats move
yes.
around.
Oh.
And what I would like, what is his name?
He's doing.
Beckett in Solo, he had to go run around and get to the.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have him running because of safety issues. But
no, not running. Okay.
But I would love to see this. Yeah, let's do it. All right, so let's talk about Batuu. Black Spire Outpost will be as bustling as City Planet Coruscant. Not just because of all the guests, but because of everything else the park will supply. Special effects, animatronic droids, and creatures acting out, and Disney cast members will embody the local characters. Everyone working at Galaxy's Edge will be able to mix and match costume elements by personal taste from a variety of designs, a Disney park's first. The black, brown, and gray palette and fashion would fit in the background of any film scene in Star Wars. And there are so many Easter eggs. The keen-eyed fan will spot familiar vehicles, weapons, droids, and creatures, and revel in other things and in others they've never seen before. One classic creature will be easy to spot. A Dianaga, a one-eyed water serpent from the trash compactor scene in Episode 4, will make an appearance above a water fountain. Further immersion will be available through a new Galaxy's Edge mode of the Disney Play app.
Yeah, I heard of this.
Guests are encouraged to create a profile and use the app to hack open doors, translate alien languages, receive missions and messages from characters. The app, with its easy games and transmissions to monitor, can keep any guest waiting in a long line busy, in-universe, and off of Facebook.
It's like the Kim Possible scavenger hunt.
But better. But
times 1,000.
Missions you have to go figure out. Doors you have to have.
Doors you can unlock. There's going to be parts of the park that you wouldn't be able to go to if you didn't have the app.
We need that app.
We could go to Disneyland for a week and never leave Galaxy's Edge, and I'd be fine with it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Disney? Disney. Here. I'm going to have
Wait, we don't have time for the music.
Okay, today. Just pretend, Disney, that there's some like motivation.
Beautiful ambient music in the background, because we're not going to take time tonight.
If you want us to come to your park and review it, we would be more than happy to do so. And we will do it. Talk about it on our podcast. We'll put it on Twitter, website, whatever you need. We'll be more than happy to do so.
Like, that's true. So let's talk about shopping. Shopping is out of this world. The vendor stalls won't look or feel like a typical shop. Toys will appear handcrafted, and your new knitted Ray doll, Cantina instrument, or fuzzy roaring Tauntaun won't come in a plastic box. Creature Only Shop is where you can get your own talking flapping porg. Turbis is what I'm praying for. Among the pets.
So the app said you could translate to alien text. What if, like, on the tag, there's, like, alien text, and you scan it, and it says Turbis? Oh!
Yeah. Ooh. I'm literally a little bit freaked out right now. Okay. Among the specialty shops, one will be a den of rare and exclusive antiquities from around the galaxy, such as classic lightsabers and items that honor the old Sith and Jedi lineages. Another shop.
How broke at this part.
Another shop will let you custom build a remote-controlled mini about a foot tall, give or take a few inches, BB unit, or R2 astromech droid of varying colors. Elsewhere, you can build a lightsaber from various designs and kyber crystal colors. There will be a Star Wars-looking clothes for sale, but T-shirts that read Star Wars will more likely be sold outside of Galaxy's
Edge. Yeah, I've heard of this. Because they're trying to make it, like...
Because if you're in the Star Wars galaxy, you don't know what Star Wars is.
It's Disney. It's like Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's life. You know, they're trying to make it to where when you walk into Galaxy's Edge, you're walking out of Disneyland and into Batuu. So everything is going to be immersive. Now, that's one might think, well, you can't have all Orbesh text, right? Because you got to have some English text. There's an in-canon explanation for that, too, which is like, it was like the high language or something that the core worlds would use.
Right.
So there's in-canon explanations for everything they're going to do. And then the droids, they're like little buddies in the park. They interact with cast members. If you do well on the ride, they do well on the ride. If you program it to be afraid of stormtroopers, you know, stormtrooper will walk by, your little droid will freak out or something, you know. And if you build your droid with a group of other people, your droids might, like, be able to recognize each other and stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
And also, Rex, the pilot of Star Tours, I don't know if he was fired or something.
Yeah, we're going to talk about him in a second.
Yes, but talking about him, he also has a role in the Build Your Own Droid.
Oh, really?
You can, I think, just buy him, but he would be in his DJ form, and he would counteract as a Bluetooth speaker.
Oh, it would be a Bluetooth speaker?
Oh, I need that, too.
All right.
So I'm going to go broke at this park.
I'm already broke, right, and we haven't even, it hasn't even opened. I haven't spent a dime yet, but I'm already, like, broke in my head. All right, food. The in-universe menu created specifically for Black Spire includes Ka'adu sticky ribs. This animal, which Jar Jar Binks wrote on screen, tastes like pork. And fried Andorian tip-yip chicken. And the hummus, pita, and spicy vegan meatballs made by the Earthlings at Impossible Foods is out of this world delicious. Blue milk will be on tap, yeah. A creamy and fruity concoction made from plant-based milk. Other non-alcoholic drinks include an Arnold Palmer-esque Tatooine sunset. Totally going to get that one when we go. And refreshing sweet and sour Sarlacc and Moof juice. And because and because we're in an Outer Rim spaceport, there's a cantina. Oga's Cantina is an elaborate bar that's also there's an Outer Rim spaceport cantina that's 21 years and older alcoholic drinks. that you guys wouldn't be allowed to go into. But then you also have Oga's Cantina, which is an elaborate bar that's also family-friendly, serving blue milk and cookies for the kids and playing an 80s meets Bollywood playlist spun by DJ R3X Rex, a former pilot droid known to many fans from the older Star Wars Tours ride, which is not going
away. One opens this summer, right?
Well, yeah, I can't remember. I think Disney World opens in the summer. Yeah, Disney. Disneyland opens in the fall.
Okay, you got that. Hold on. It's Disneyland.
And then Disney World.
Don't, like, lots of students have senior trips?
Yeah.
Okay, this is my senior trip. Now, when I'm 21, lots
of... And on that note, you can support us by Patreon at patreon.com/TatooineSons.
We'll start a GoFundMe. And then... you know how people like do stuff on their 21st birthday? We're going back on my 21st birthday so I can go to that bar.
You want to get your first alcoholic drink from that bar?
Where else would I want to get my first alcoholic
drink? You know, we had talked about doing Scum and Villainy for that, but this is better.
This is so much better.
Yeah. BB Nate's like, well, I'm not going to get to go to that, but that's
okay. Not yet. Not even close. Anyway.
So what do you think about the food and all that kind of stuff, guys? You think it's pretty cool?
So
bad. I'm like ready to go, like ready to sit down and eat, ready to buy stuff. At
a cantina where they're playing Star Wars music by a droid DJ.
What do you think, BB Nate? You've been like immersing yourself in this all day.
I have. I think it's great. I'm excited for it. So.
Very cool.
Like, I don't know what to say. I'm just so excited.
They even said that you want to feel like you're going from Disneyland or World into Batu. Are they going to have like
a
certain amount of sections that they're going to let into the park? Have a transition where you're like, they talk about it, you go into hyperspace, you get there, and then they...
Well, I think that, I don't know for sure, but I think that especially at Walt Disney World... That the resort that's tied into it, you never leave a Star Wars theme. So you get onto a vehicle that's like a ship, a spaceship, to go from the resort to Batuu. They let you out in Batuu, like you're landing on the planet, and they go from there. That's what you want to do. That's it. So, all right.
Well, I don't know.
We'll see.
I'm going to go broke at this park.
And I will not feel bad.
I'm saving my $100
worth it. Card.
There you go.
I've been living on the street. No big deal.
All right, cool. All right, so is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
J.J. Abrams has gone on record. The Last Jedi backlash had zero effect on episode 9.
What?
Well, of course, it should have had zero effect because The Last Jedi was an amazing movie.
Right.
But at the same time, directors and writers of movies should not be governed by fans that don't know how to control their emotions.
Good point.
So, that's why there will never be a Snyder cut. And now I've just lost 5,000 Twitter followers.
What's Snyder?
Justice League. Okay. Rotten Tomatoes drops want to see reviews after Captain Marvel and Star Wars review bombing.
Wait, Captain Marvel was affected by this too?
Captain Marvel's got the lowest Rotten Tomatoes score of any MCU movie in history.
And it hasn't even come out.
Right. That's the point.
What is their problem with
Star Wars Episode 9 hasn't even gotten a title yet, and it was getting a review bombed.
Yeah, they should remove... Oh, so they did drop it.
They changed the rules. What people are pushing for is them to go a step further, and that's like not allow someone to review it unless they can scan their ticket to prove that they've seen the movie.
Some sort of verification.
Because right now it's ridiculous what's going on. It's absurd.
It's childish.
It's one little victory, but there's got to be more for this kind of stuff. I just think it's ridiculous. And people say, why are you so worried about it? I'm worried about it because people... take these review sites when they don't know what's going on. They take them seriously.
Yeah. They see the Rotten Tomatoes score and the audience score and they think, oh, it's like, we've done it. Nate and I have done it. We'll be like, oh man, this has a really bad Rotten Tomatoes score. And then we watch the movie and we're like, this is actually a pretty fun movie.
We got an example. Pixels. That was a great movie.
It was
a lot of fun. It wasn't designed to be an emotionally riveting movie, but it was fun. And it was funny.
16%.
Yeah, I've watched. We've got it on video, don't we?
Yeah, we own the thing.
We own it because it was good. We liked it.
I mean, so
you let people judge movies based on seeing the movies, not judge movies based on people that haven't seen the movies saying that they stink. It's ridiculous. So we've got to be that. This is one step on a long road to where I hope that we can fix this stuff. So anyway, I'm done. That was my soapbox.
Your rant.
Yeah. Kylo Ren's new helmet in Star Wars Episode 9 might be a secret twist. So here's the theory. All right. And it is just a theory. You know, they're talking about there's been this leak of the photo of the helmet put back together with the red and all that kind of stuff. That he wore that as the leader of the Knights of Red. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so the theory is he's no longer the leader of the Knights of Red. That one of the Knights of Ren has assumed that role and put the mask back together himself. And that person is wearing this mask as the leader of the Knights of Ren. And he's absolutely not a part of it anymore. It's a theory. I think it's silly. I think it's ridiculous. But I think the mask makes a lot more sense as a fractured, him trying to hide behind his mask, trying to put his fractured psyche back together. And it makes much more sense. We talked about that before on an episode like 10 weeks ago. So anyway, is that good?
Good. All right.
So let's talk about this week's podcast poll of the week. What are you hoping? When are you hoping to make your first visit to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge? Within the first 6 months,
yes.
6 months to 1 year, 1 year to 2 years, probably never. So you get to vote in that. Let us know what you guys think, and we'd love for you guys to interact with that on the comments as well. Reply to us and let us know why you voted what you voted. I guess that's it. We got through another podcast episode. Next one we'll be doing, you guys, I'll be sitting here in front of this camera by myself, and you guys will be on my screen, and I don't know if it'll make any sense to anybody watching on YouTube Live, but hey, it'll be interesting. So thanks, guys, for tuning in again to this podcast. And those of you that tune in on YouTube Live, if you are listening to the podcast and you'd love to participate in the YouTube Live recording, you just have to subscribe on YouTube to our podcast and give yourself notifications. And when we go live, you'll know about it. That's pretty much that. We're on Twitter, at Tatooine Sons, on Facebook, at Tatooine Sons, on Instagram, at Tatooine Sons, here on YouTube, at Tatooine Sons. We've got a really cool Patreon page, patreon.com/ Tatooine Sons. Heck, if we had a MySpace page, you can find us at Tatooine Sons. I don't think MySpace is around anymore.
Yeah, I think they died.
You want to try to resurrect it?
Yeah,
let's go get a MySpace page.
Yeah.
Tell people to start following us on MySpace. So that's pretty much it. Thank you, guys. Review us, too. Your reviews mean a lot to us. So
the
episode's over. Take a second to switch on over to iTunes. Give us a review and a rating on that. 5 stars. It would be very much appreciated. I guess that's pretty much it for tonight. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep.